Weary world. We have so much going on in our day and time right now that's just tiring, right? I mean, how many of you are just tired? You're just tired of everything that's going on, and there's so much going on in the world, and not only is everything going on in the world, but there's stuff just going on in our lives personally. Like, we just have issues and things we're dealing with, family, work, finances, could be so many things that we're dealing with. Life is just tiring. But this morning, I want to encourage you guys and remind us all as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to struggle with this a little bit. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to know what I'm talking about, because we're going to remind ourselves of this morning, that we have something so much to rejoice over today. In spite of everything that's going on in the world, in spite of everything that's going on in our life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have that hope that we talked about last week of what is to come, we have so much to rejoice over. We have so much to be joyful about. In this time of year that we kind of talked about during prayer, of what Jesus did, being born, coming into this world, it jump-started it all. It jump-started all of our hope, all of our joy, all of our what we have to look forward to in eternity, all started with Christmas. And we have so much to be thankful for. And this morning, if you haven't caught on, we're going to be talking about the word peace today, okay? They mentioned that in our readings and lighting of the candles, peace. Peace is one of those things that most people want. We want to have peace in our life. We want to have peace in our homes, in our relationships, at work, in all things. We want to have peace. And it's one of those things that when we start looking at it, we're going to find, I hope you see this morning, that you're only going to find it in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, all right, he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Okay, so this morning, I want to remind you about last week. We have a hope. We have something to hope for in spite of everything that happens in this world, in spite of everything that happens in your life, no matter what you are dealing with or going through, you have something to hope for in Jesus Christ. You always have something better to look forward to. And if you are living in this world right now, despite the situations and circumstances and chaos and problems that you have personally, internal things that are going on in your life, you have a peace that you can have that surpasses all understanding. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's, say it, peace. All right, you're going to say this a lot, and we're not hippies. We're not going to throw up the peace sign. But you're going to say peace a lot this morning. I'll let you guys say that. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So what I want to communicate this morning and make you realize, I'm going to beat this into you. You're going to hear, this is going to be somewhat repetitive, but I think it's going to be good repetition, and repetition builds habit, all right, and we can take this with us. You're going to hear the word peace a lot this morning. And I want you to understand that there is a peace that is only attained through Jesus Christ that we can receive, all right? And you look at this, it says it exceeds anything that we can understand. Some of you older people in here this morning, if you've lived long enough and you've had a relationship with Christ long enough, you can testify to times in your life that have been totally chaotic, totally out of this world, unexplainable, and at the same time, you have felt peace in your heart that's just, you can't explain it. And you know what it's like. You know what it's like personally, but it's hard to explain to other people. And if you're young, and maybe you're not super strong in your relationship with God, and you haven't had some of these things going on in life, or maybe you have, and you just haven't experienced that peace yet, it's really hard to think or understand. It's like trying to imagine heaven. It's like trying to describe something you've never seen or felt or touched. It's so hard to understand how we can have a peace in our life despite situations and circumstances, despite everything that's going on. It's so hard for us to understand that. And this morning, you're going to see countless passages of Scripture where God and Jesus and the apostles and the disciples are all writing and talking about the peace that you and I are supposed to have as followers of Jesus Christ. It's available. It's eternal. It's not just for a moment. It's available and it's always there, and you and I are supposed to have it. We're going to talk about this. And this is why, as followers, you and I should be able to stand in the midst of anything that's going on around us. I want you to think about this morning. All right, this is one of my little pep talk sermons, okay? I want you to feel better when you leave here today, okay? You and I should be able to stand in the midst of anything and have a peace. No matter what the world's throwing at us, no matter what Satan is throwing at us, no matter what decisions that you have made, and maybe you've brought consequences on your life personally just because you've made some bad decisions, no matter what happens, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have access to a peace that's beyond anything else the rest of the world can understand. You have access to that this morning. And as followers of Christ, we're called to live in that peace. So if you haven't caught on, the word for today is what? Peace, all right? This is what we should be striving for, looking for, praying for, asking God to give us. And more than likely, every single one of you who are in here today, you probably want peace in your life. I mean, it's just something we desire. When Addison and Hannah, my nieces, whenever they were younger, they would just like, you know, they're just little girls. They're funny, and they're just always aggravating you and bugging you and stuff and just talk. They talk all the time. They still don't stop talking. And they would say, Uncle James, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want? I was like, peace and quiet. Peace and quiet. There's a lot of you parents in here who's like, what do you want? Peace and quiet. It's something that we want, but it's really funny how in life we don't really do a whole lot to try to get peace. And there are some people who seek peace in the world. We try to go places to find peace. We try to do things in order to find peace. But in reality, it's not something that's attainable. It's only something that can be given to you through God and Jesus Christ. A peace that is eternal. And this world can fool you. You listening to me? This morning, this world can fool you into thinking that it can give you peace. And there will be times in your life where things are quiet and things are calm, and you will experience peace for a moment. And you will say, oh, this is what I want, this is what I need. It's a lie. It's a lie that the world and the people and that Satan tries to sell you that you can find peace in things, or you can accomplish this goal and now you can have peace, or you can have this relationship and now you have peace, or you can have this or that, or go here or go there and have peace. And it's temporary and it fades because all things in this world are temporary and they all fade away. God gives us a peace that is eternal, that's beyond understanding, and that's the peace that you and I should be seeking for. So this morning, we're going to read a lot of scripture, all right? We're going to start off with three passages. We're going to be reading some Christmas scripture this morning because I want you to understand that when Jesus came, when he stepped into this world in physical form, guess what he came to bring? Peace, all right? Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79. This is the Zechariah. He's a priest. Okay, he is the one who is the father of John the Baptist. And when his son, John the Baptist, is born, he's holding John the Baptist in his arms, right? So he's holding him in his arms, and he begins to prophesy about his son because of the message that the Lord gave him when he was serving in the temple. Look at what he says. He says, and you, my little son, he's talking about John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And that's referring to Jesus. The Most High is Jesus. John the Baptist is going to be the prophet of Jesus, preparing the way. Because you will prepare the way for the Lord. Verse 77, you will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Now, are you listening this morning? Because this is going to sound a lot more simple than what we think that it should be. But in essence, it's really, really simple. Because the whole message here this morning is forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. When Jesus steps into this world, he came to bring forgiveness of sins. But when you get forgiveness of sins, there's all kinds of other gifts and blessings that come through the forgiveness of sins. In verse 78, it says, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Jesus is about to come. Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. You listening to me this morning? So when Zechariah is prophesying about what Jesus is coming to do, John is going to prepare the way. He's going to preach, repent of your sins and turn to the Lord, right? And when Jesus comes up, and when Jesus shows up on the scene, he turns it over to Jesus. And John kind of finishes out his ministry, all right, in prison until he's put to death. But this Jesus is coming to bring peace, all right? And we're not just talking about a peace that you feel temporarily. We're talking about the most important thing in our life, which is peace between you and God. Now listen to me this morning. Understand this. Many of you are seeking peace in situations and circumstances. Don't waste your time. Because as soon as you do happen to come upon peace in a situation or circumstance, guess what's going to come out the next day? A new situation or circumstance, new turmoil, new hostility. Jesus Christ came to bring peace between God and people. Men, women, children, peace between God and us. That's eternal peace, okay? This is what he's talking about. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. This is the great story that you've all heard a million times. If you come to Christmas plays and you watch all this stuff, this is the angels in the field presenting themselves to the shepherds. And look at the message that they gave these men. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Now think about this. The message came through the angels, peace on earth with those with whom God is pleased. What pleases God? Do you and I please God? It's kind of a trick question. Some of you are like, I don't know how to answer that. We, by ourselves, cannot please God. You and I are sinful people. We are going to be selfish by nature. We are going to be drawn to certain sins and temptations by nature. We will always have the ability to create hostility between us and God because we allow sin to enter in. But when we are forgiven of sin, and when that division is removed between us and God, and we can reunite in our relationship with Him because of forgiveness of sin, that brings peace between us and God. And so this is why the angels say, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. So God is not pleased with you and I this morning because of what we can do or we can't do, because you and I are very limited in what we can and can't do. Peace is brought and we are pleasing to God when we accept Jesus into our hearts and we rely fully on Him to help us serve Him and live for God the way that God's called us to. It's all about bringing peace between us and God. Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. The priest Simeon, okay, was at the temple serving the Lord on the day that Jesus is brought to him to be dedicated to the Lord. And as Simeon is holding him in his arms, I mean, Simeon has Jesus holding him in his arms. And the Lord had revealed to him years before that Simeon would not die until he had saw the Messiah. And so as Simeon is holding baby Jesus in his arms, he begins prophesying with this message from the Lord. And it says, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised." Verse 30 says, "I have seen your salvation." When Simeon holds this baby in his arms and he sees Jesus, who came to be the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of all men and all women and all people, there's nothing else to live for. He's experienced the greatest thing that you could ever experience. He has seen salvation with his own eyes. And because of that, there's a peace that is beyond explaining. And he's ready to die at this moment. Verse 31 says, "Which you have prepared for all people. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory to the people of Israel." Jesus came to bring peace. Point number one, if you're taking notes this morning, Christmas is all about peace. Write it down, take a picture, mark it in your calendar, put it in your computer, your phone, whatever you got to do to remember this. Christmas is all about peace. Jesus Christ came to this earth to show us the way. He was born in human flesh because he wanted to experience every single thing that you and I experience as people. Being born, I don't know about you guys, I was able to witness the birth of my two children. It is one of the most barbaric, crazy, like amazing things I've ever seen in my life. It's like savage. I told Hannah if it was like me, if I had to give birth, we'd never have kids. All right? I mean, like, it would not happen. It is like one of the most amazing things ever. And Jesus subjected himself to that. I mean, I'll never forget when Perry was born, you know, it's like I'd never seen that before. The doctor comes in, grabs Perry by the neck, choke slams him on Hannah's chest. And it's just like, you just did that to a baby. Like, what are you doing? I mean, like, it's amazing how rough they are with them. And, you know, the babies are just sitting there crying, like screaming bloody murder. They're in, they've been brought into this world. They've been, there's no telling what their temperature is inside the body. I guess, you know, somewhere around 98 to 100 degrees. And all of a sudden, they're just in like room temperature. It's like a 30 degree difference, 70 degrees. And it's like world shock. Jesus exposed himself to that. He had to have his diaper changed. He pooped and peed on himself. I mean, I don't know if you've ever sat around and thought about all the things that Jesus went through. He got hurt. He bled. He sacrificed himself. He died, just like you and I experienced. He was tempted by Satan in all ways that you and I are. That's what Scripture says. He experienced everything that you and I experienced, but he came to be an example to show you and I how to live for God and to live a life of peace. And it's a great light in a dark world. I don't know if you've ever thought about, you know, your ability to witness and minister to other people, but, you know, Jesus came to be a great light. We're supposed to follow in his example. We're supposed to be a light. Any of you ever went out and drove at nighttime? None of you drive at night? You all old, scared people or something? All right. If you go out and drive at night, there's lights on your car. And it's amazing that at nighttime, whenever it's dark outside and you have lights on your car shining, how many bugs are drawn to your car? Right? I mean, like here in the summertime, how many of you have to basically get out a putty knife and scrape bugs off your car? Or, you know, like you're just driving down the road and all of a sudden it's like animals just run into your car. I actually had a deer one time run into me. I didn't hit the deer hit me. Ran into the side of my truck. Last week, Bruce Mahaffey hit a cow one night driving down the road. It's amazing how whenever you're driving down the road at nighttime and you have lights on your vehicle, all the things that are just naturally drawn to the light. It's like they turn into zombies and they just like gallop into it. It's the most amazing thing. A deer can be in the road and it just like, you know, people hunt deer all the time. Just go on the road. Like there's thousands laid on the side of the road, all up and down through Chesney right now. There's 100 deer up and down the roads in Chesney right now where people have hit them. You drive down the road one day, there's no deer. You drive down the road the very next morning, there's like two or three laying on the side of the road. Things are just naturally drawn to the light. If you are in a dark room, what are you going to go towards? The light. You're going to look for a light switch. You're going to pull out your phone, do a flashlight. You're going to see, you know, some light seeping in somewhere, and you're going to go to the light because as people, we are naturally drawn to the light. You and I are called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus to be a light to the dark world. Having that peace in your life, in your heart, is part of that. This is why Simeon, when he finally laid his eyes on Jesus, he said, I'm ready to die in peace. Because I've seen the greatest thing that's in this world. There's nothing more important. There's nothing greater than what he witnessed than to hold baby Jesus in his arms and to see the salvation of all mankind. There's nothing greater. He had saw the greatest light that could ever be seen. There was nothing else to live for. And guys, Christmas is all about peace. I want you to think about this. There's a bunch of you in here this morning. In years, this year might be a little better naturally just because of COVID and all that crazy stuff going on. People aren't quite as busy as they were. But usually Christmas time is chaotic. How many of you have like almost dread Christmas a little bit in the past just because you got to buy a bunch of presents? You got to spend a crap ton of money. You got to spend a lot of money, all right? You have to cook tons of food. A lot of you women in here slave during Christmas time a lot to prepare all this stuff to make it available for other people to enjoy. It's chaotic. I mean, like, I know my wife and I, we don't even do anything. We're not really responsible for anything, but just all the things that we usually have to attend at Christmas time is super stressful, just making sure you get everywhere and you show up at all the places you're expected to be for family. That's somewhat stressful. That's not what Christmas was meant to be. Christmas was meant to be peace. Jesus came so that we could celebrate our peace between He and God. This is the celebration of Jesus, not giving gifts, not eating food, not throwing parties, not doing all this stuff that we've made it out to be. Christmas is really supposed to be about peace. If you find yourself stressed out, worn out, spread thin, frustrated, maybe even a little bitter when Christmas comes around, just let it go. Don't worry about that. You don't have to appease everyone else. All we should be doing at this time of year, and I say this carefully because I understand there's going to be some of you who are like, how can you be a Scrooge? I'm not being a Scrooge. I'm not being a holy roller either, okay? I'm just saying Christmas is supposed to be about peace. It's supposed to be about celebrating what Jesus has done, to come to be the Savior of the world. In John chapter 10, verse 36, look at this. This is John. He's writing a gospel. He's talking about Jesus, what it means to be saved. And he says, this is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The whole theme of the gospel is about us having peace. For you and I to have peace, not in situations and things of this world, but to have peace between us and God. And the message of the good news is salvation. And forgiveness of sin brings peace between us and God. Think about what the opposite of peace means. The opposite of peace is hostility. When peace is not present in our lives, there's hostility, there's animosity, there's hatred, jealousy, there's all these things. You can think about all the things that are opposite of what peace is, and that's what's present in our life if we don't have peace. And before you were sitting in here this morning, and before you were forgiven of your sins, there was hostility between you and God. God was angry, not necessarily at you personally, but God was angry at your sin. This is why Jesus came, to forgive us of the sin. Okay? You hear people say it all the time. It's kind of a little clever saying, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. Okay? It's not about that God is angry with us, but God can have no part of sin. There's hostility. If we have sin in our heart this morning, there's hostility between us and God. We have to seek forgiveness through Jesus Christ so that peace can enter in. This is the whole reason why Jesus came. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. All right? He's leaving them with a gift. All right? Salvation is the reason why Jesus came. But as we said earlier, when you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, there's all kinds of other gifts and all kinds of other blessings that come with that. And we have to be super careful that we don't seek the other gifts and we don't seek the other blessings, but we seek the source of all that Jesus Christ wants to give us. And it's forgiveness through Him. And when we receive true forgiveness and we truly give our hearts to Jesus Christ, that's whenever we receive some of those gifts and blessings like peace. When we truly realized what salvation is, when you really truly understand what salvation is, the freedom and guilt and shame that you had in your life that is taken away will give you a peace that you cannot understand or explain to anyone else. You know, when I was in high school, I tell you about this all the time, and I'll say it till the day I die, I sought so many things in so many other places that I just couldn't get. It didn't matter how good I did in school. It didn't matter how good I did in sports. It didn't matter how good I did with friends or relationships or anything like that. There was always something missing. And I can remember when I was a junior and I got saved, it was like there was a peace and a satisfaction that came that I didn't get anywhere else, that I couldn't get. And it didn't matter because all the other stuff, it felt good for a time. It was great, but it was temporary, and it faded quickly. And because it was temporary, you just turned around, and then you had the next season to play for. What you did last year didn't matter anymore. When you had a relationship, you just was going on to the next thing or looking for the next experience or, you know, having to save up more money to go on the next date to make it continue to make it better. There was all this stuff that I was putting effort and time and trying to find satisfaction in, and whenever I got saved, I gave my heart to Christ, it put everything in perspective. Because all the other stuff was good at times, but it didn't last. But the peace that God gave me in my heart during that time was so much better than anything that I had experienced. It was a great and amazing thing. And point number two this morning is that peace is needed in this world. And I want to challenge you guys, understand this. This is not a beauty pageant. All right, we're not running Miss America up here. We're not running some stick figure girls with a bunch of makeup looking like Barbie saying, world peace. You get that this morning? Like, it would be nice if we didn't have war and we didn't have fighting between countries and genocide and all those things. Like, yes, I understand. That would be really nice. But what the world needs is peace with God. The world needs it. The world needs peace with God. You look at Scripture. I don't know if you understand this or not, but I'm using a ton of Scripture today because if you look at how many times the word peace appears in the New Testament, it's almost 90 times. Almost 90 times the word peace appears in the New Testament, and it's either referring to one of two things. Most of the time, it's referring to peace between God and people in the removal of sins through Jesus Christ. That's the majority of what it's talking about. All the other times that it's referring to peace in the New Testament, it's talking about how us as Christians should be working and moving towards peace in our life. We should be promoting and working towards peace with our fellow brothers and sisters, with the people around us. Even if they're not fellow Christians, we should still be working and living at peace with them because it's the commandment that Jesus gave, and it's the commandment that the apostles continue to promote in the New Testament in our Scripture. The world needs peace. And you and I are called to be examples, to be lights in this dark world. And right now, one of the greatest testimonies that you can give to the world is peace. It's so easy right now to get wrapped up in what's going on the news. Politics, social injustice, rioting, you name it, it's out there. We can be so negative. We can be so drowning in things of the world or even things in our own life. There could be stuff going on in your life right now that you are miserable and angry and hurting over, and you're sitting here right now and you're almost mad at God because you don't understand why your life is the way it is. And I'm telling you this morning that you and I are called to be shining examples and lights of peace in a dark world. Because the rest of the world doesn't understand what you and I have access to. They don't understand the peace. It's beyond anything that they can understand. And it's so amazing when people like you and I, who say we're followers of Jesus Christ, live in a world that's filled with turmoil and hostility and hatred and jealousy and anger and all the other things that you can list. And we are in the middle of that world and there's chaos in our life and we have storms going on in our life and everything seems crazy. And if you and I can be at peace and have the peace of God in our life, what an amazing testimony. Because the rest of the world sees it, they see what's going on, but most of the people have never seen someone actually be at peace and live what they're saying they live with God. I was telling an older people this morning, you guys know what a unicorn is? I knew you would appreciate this so much more, you would know. Like, the unicorn is the explanation of something that is believed to exist, but no one's ever really seen it. All right, it's this great mythological creature, and it's used as an example to describe things that, like, we believe it exists, but we've never found it. So if you find one, it's an amazing thing. Basically, Christians, a lot of the world views Christian people, real Christian people, as unicorns. I don't know if you understand that or not, because there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, right? A lot of people claim to be unicorns. A lot of people claim to be Christians, claim to live it out, claim to have Jesus in their heart, claim to do this, and in reality, a lot of people don't live it out. They don't flesh it out. We talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. There's so many people out there in the world, and I'm saying this in the world, in Chesney, in Mayo, Cowpens, Fingerville, all the little towns around here that make up the great metropolis of Chesney. There's a lot of people out there have never seen Jesus lived out in the flesh through someone that they know. That's sad. It's a unicorn. They're looking for it. They want it. They want to believe it exists, but they've never been able to see it for the most part. You and I are called to be the unicorns. You and I are called to be, to flesh out what Jesus has called us to do. Because when you live it out, if you live it out in your personal life, I want you to think about this. When they finally see that it's possible, it's the most convicting thing that they'll ever experience in their life. When they see that someone can actually live in peace and be perfectly okay in their situations and circumstances, no matter what happens, you're like, who are you? What? How can you be okay with this? Explain to me why you're okay right now with everything that's going on in your life. You're suffering, you're hurting, the world's crazy like this. How can you be okay with that? Perfect opportunity to say, it's Jesus. It's a perfect opportunity for us to witness and minister, but we have to flesh that out with our example, with living for God, with showing people what it means to live in peace. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus talks about the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching, it's one of his first great messages he presents to the people of Israel. One of the Beatitudes says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. You claim to be a Christian, you're claiming to be a child of God. You want to be a child of God, you want it to show through, you need to be working for peace. Peace between you and God and peace with the people around you. Jesus came to bring peace. And just like last week, we talked about hope, how important it was for us to have something to hope for in the world to come. Peace is just as important. It's just as great of an opportunity for us to shine a light in the dark world. I'll say it again and again and again. I really believe that Jesus is just like taking the dimmer switch and he's just turning the lights down in the world. And he's making the world a little darker and a little darker and a little darker so that the lights of Christians can shine a little brighter and a little brighter and a little brighter. You're sitting here this morning. Understand, you look at this, John 16, 33. I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus told his followers, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have hurts. You're going to have pains. We live in a sinful world that's screwed up. And every single one of us has contributed in that screwing up the world. You believe that this morning? You should. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to understand we've all contributed to messing this world up with sin. But we live in a sinful world. There's going to be trials, tribulations, heartaches, pains, hills, valleys, light days, dark days, rain and shine. And no matter what the situation and circumstances are, Jesus said, I have come that you may have peace. Point number three, peace is a great indication of salvation. And we've been talking about peace with God, but we're also going to look at peace in our life right quick. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been made right with God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. If Jesus has forgiven you of sin, if you're living in relationship with him, there should be peace in your heart and life with God and even with people. Jesus came not only to give us peace because we need it. Do we need peace? We need peace. We need peace in our life. If any of you have ever lived with turmoil or hostility in your home, relationships, family, job, anything, it's the most draining, debilitating thing that you'll ever go through. It's awful to experience that constantly. We need peace. We need that from the Lord. And Jesus came not only to give us peace because we need it, but he also came to give us peace because it is a great testimony. It is a great light for a dark world. Galatians 5, 22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. If you're living for Jesus and the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, these are the things that you should have present. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things that the Holy Spirit gives us. All right? These are gifts of the Spirit. And it's not always obvious. You know, I don't always tell people I'm a pastor. If David is listening in this morning, I met a guy named David yesterday. If David's listening in this morning, I hope he forgives me a little bit. I don't always tell people that I'm a pastor. Yeah, I just talk to people, try to be as normal as I can, invite them to church, do things with them. But I don't tell my pastor because I want people to be real with me. I want people to like just be themselves. And one of the things that I always look for with people whenever I'm around them is how much drama and hostility is in their life. It's a great indication as to whether or not they're true followers of Christ. I mean, you can just listen to people talk. They don't have to cuss. They don't have to tell dirty jokes. They don't have to, like, you know, just be hateful. But you just listen to somebody and just ask these questions. And if you're sitting here this morning, you can ask this question about yourself. You can ask it about other people. So if you're young and you're thinking about dating or marrying other people, all right, having friendships with other people, these are things that you need to ask about them. Ask yourself about these things because it will determine who they are and whether or not you really need to be in relationships or hanging out with them. But one of the first things I ask is, do I or do they talk negatively about themselves? If someone doesn't even view themselves in a positive way, it's hard for me to imagine that they have peace in their life, in their relationship with God, that they find worth through their relationship with God. Am I or are they jealous of others? You know, jealousy is a bitter, bitter emotion that just tears people apart. And if people are jealous of one another, if we're jealous of other people, that's a terrible thing that just eats away at us. We'll never be able to serve God, never be able to give Him our whole hearts if we're always focused on other people, if we're jealous of them. Do I or do they embellish or exaggerate to make themselves sound better than they really are? You ever talk to that person who's like, man, I caught a fish the other day. It's like 7 inches long. And next time they tell the story, it's like 10 inches long. It was like 15 inches long. And there's always people who just kind of embellish and exaggerate. And, you know, it's not that it's a terrible thing. I'm not even saying it's a sin. It's just we should be satisfied with reality. We need to have a peace in our life with all things. Am I or are they honest? Are we honest? Do we lie about stuff? Do we hide things? That's huge. Huge. Do I or do they excitedly, can they just not wait to share news about other people, whether it's good or bad? People who like to just share news and gossip, whether it's good things or bad things, either one, generally are people who tend to stir the pot. You know what's in the pot, don't you? What's in the pot doesn't smell good. It stinks. And when you stir it, it smells worse. Am I or are they argumentative? Do they like to fight? Do they like to argue? Do they like to just stir stuff up? And does drama follow them? Does drama follow me? Many of you know that person in your life where drama just follows them. It's always there. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's like something's always wrong at work. Something's always wrong with people. There's just always something. And we have to be honest with ourselves this morning. If the drama's always following you personally, then we need to be seeking Christ about that. We need to be seeking Christ about peace in our life because you can't be a good witness for Christ if you don't have peace in your heart and life with God and with other people. You can't be a good witness for Him. Jesus came so that His followers could have the gift of peace. Romans 15:13, Paul writes and he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, we talked about hope last week, it's a great verse. Look at this verse. The source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. All these things that we're talking about, they all work together. You put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and He blesses you, and He gives you hope, and He gives you peace, and all this stuff works together, and they feed off one another. And as we continue our relationship in Christ, those things continue to grow. And I was sharing with the people in the first service this morning, I want you to understand this today. Your relationship with Christ never flatlines, okay? It's either progressing or it's digressing. You understand that? It's either getting better or it's getting worse. It's never just a straight line. And so this morning, when you talk about this peace that we have with Christ, this hope, this joy that it talks about, if you're growing in your relationship with Christ, you're going to have more peace, more hope, more joy. All those things are going to continue to be given to you in time as you grow in your relationship with Him. But if you become selfish and you choose yourself and you choose sin and you begin to digress in your relationship with Christ, guess what other things digress with it? All the gifts and all the blessings that He's promised you as you live in Him. Look, it says, then they will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you get these things through trusting in Him, through living for Him, with Him. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, this is how he closes out his letter. It says, now may the Lord of peace Himself, Jesus is peace. May the Lord of peace Himself give you His peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you. Guys, I'm telling you, if you have Jesus in your heart this morning, you have access not only to temporary peace, you have access to an eternal peace that is beyond anything we could think or understand. It's an essential part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. If you're sitting here this morning, you should have peace in your life. Not just in situations and circumstances, not just in relationships. You should have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, it puts all other things in perspective. It doesn't matter if your world is burning down around you. And let me remind you, we talked about hope last week, and we talked about, you know, Paul writing in Romans, and he talked about enduring suffering and things like that, and all the things that they were suffering, death, persecution, you know, brutal punishment and treatment that they were experiencing, and they were still called to be joyful in spite of those things. Guys, I'm telling you this morning, you and I are called. It doesn't matter if our world is burning down around us. We have access to a hope and a peace that's beyond anything else the world can understand. No matter what happens in this world, we always have something better to look forward to. And if we cling to that, if we grab hold of that, if we run with it, and we grow in our relationship with Christ, it only gets better. It only gets better through time. 1 Peter 5:6-7. This is our last one. All these verses. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Let me tell you something. Jesus came to bring peace. He came to be the salvation for your sins. He came to give you eternal life. He came to give you an eternal peace. But He also cares about you. He cares about you. And like we said, there's almost 90 verses of Scripture that include the word peace in it. This is just one example of a passage of Scripture that talks about having a peace with God that doesn't include the word peace. There's an understanding in all New Testament Scripture that there are hardships and trials and things going on in this life. And the calling for you and I is, no matter what's going on around us, it doesn't matter if the world is burning down around us, for you and I to have a hope and a peace in Jesus Christ that the rest of the world can never understand, because you only have it through Him. That's my challenge to you today. This is what Christmas is all about. This is what Jesus came to give. The whole message of Jesus coming to this earth to be the sacrifice for our sins was about peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You again for the opportunity to be here, for the opportunity to serve You, and Lord, for the opportunity to have peace. God, I pray that You would speak into our lives today. Lord, help us to see and understand that You have called us to be shining examples in a dark world around us. Lord, there are some people in this room, some people who are watching on video, some people who are going to listen to this podcast later on, who they don't have peace in their life. And Lord, they can only find it through You. And Lord, for those of us who are right with You, who have that relationship with You, Lord, we are called to be shining examples of peace in this dark world. Help us to stand strong. No matter how bad the winds get, no matter how bad the waves get, no matter what's happening in our life, Lord, I pray that we would stand strong and be shining examples to be great lights in a dark world during this time. We love You, and we thank You. Thank You for what You did for us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed today.